brings together horse ownership, horse fandom, and handicapping skill to be one of the top tournament players in America.
Very nice. Well, soldier on. A number of other opportunities were cashed in on over the weekend.
Oh, absolutely. We should talk about Dan Slattery, my friend from Bethesda, Maryland, who like my family, through the dam side of my family, like the summer at Capon Springs in West Virginia. He cashed for $19,000 on the fourth race at Gulfstream. That was an interesting move by Jim Goodman, and one I approve of, that because of the weather conditions, actually added in some simulcast races to the program at the Grade 1 Gamble. And he took home in the end $18,000 in bankroll, another $18,000 in cash, also BCBC and NHC. Kevin Kirstein, this is a great story, Steve, who in Churchill Downs employee, high up in the publicity department there. He finished high up. Paul Scott's name was there, Brett Kelly. And those players all get BCBC and NHC, as does sixth place finisher Jeff Jeffrian of Baton Rouge, part of that, the Baton Rouge mob of horse players. He actually, Jeff, for finishing sixth, just got a partial BCBC berth, but also gets the NHC. It was an impressive group of players there for sure. And then we also had more action online with some old friends punching tickets to the NHC. Mike Ferrazzo, one of the most popular players there is, just knows so many people in the contest world and is really just very respected figure. And our old buddy Pete Dressens, Michelle Ravencraft sent around some notes about Pete's various credentials. You know, he won the rookie contest. He is qualified for the NHC every year he's tried. She throws in there a note that he's arguably the NHC's best dressed player. I'd say there's only one man who can compete with Dressens for that honor, and he's on the other end of this telephone call, Steve Bick.
Well, I've got the media, which is not a it's not a real challenge, but Peter's got a throwback haberdash style that is outstanding. I mean, there's a real sartorial flair going with Peter. You know, down to the hats. I'm not wearing my hats as often as I used to.
Well, you've got so much hair. You see, for me, it's just such an easy cheat. You've got a good excuse. But Pete also has run a number of marathons, was very helpful in giving me advice on that front as well. So just a good guy and a terrific horse player. And I don't want to let our conversation end without giving props to Christy Moore, Steve, who also won in a separate horseplayers.com contest. Her NHC seat exploded on the tour scene last year, two entries in the money at the NHC, and she'll be going back. And second to her was Howard Bloomberg of Baltimore, Maryland, in that Friday contest. And then Sunday, real fast, Alan Levitt and Darren Gelo, I might be butchering Darren's name, get their NHC qualifications. Darren, the reason I don't know how to pronounce his name yet, first NHC qual for him. So lots of good stuff happening as far as NHC qualification, and of course out at Keeneland for those terrific events that Jim Goodman hosts annually.
Well, the Spring Challenge on Saturday and the Grade 1 Gamble on Sunday. And did you mention KK? Did you mention Kevin Kirstein?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay.
Churchill Downs, representing first ever contest for him. So he's one that I need to track down, I think, for a little late week Keeneland Select podcast appearance and talk to him also. You know, now contest world, people are looking ahead to the upcoming Triple Crown season, and right at Churchill, the Kentucky Derby betting challenge, obviously a huge part of that. I don't think they're doing qualifying with any of the qualifying sites. I think they're doing qualifying through twinspires.com, still waiting on them to get all the details on that. But that's certainly a major event that you can play from Churchill or play via remote from Twin Spires, and going to be excited to be following it. I know the storyline I'm looking for there is Jonathan Kinchin's quest for redemption after DQing himself out of what would have been a third place finish last year by not making the required amount of bets. He is eager to come back and regain his crown. So, you know, here's another opportunity in just a few weeks' time for this former champion, half African-American, half South Asian, to come back and show the world he's still got it. Maybe that'll be JK in the Kentucky Derby betting challenge.
Well, and then this weekend, let's just get a couple of notes in. You've got Canterbury. They've got the Road to Kentucky feeder, and that's on track. And, of course, horseplayers.com, they've got two seats, $165 on Saturday for the buy-in. Sunday, they come back again. They've got the $500 plan, and that's with one seat. And then looking ahead to next weekend, Santa Anita has got a super qualifier scheduled. We'll check with Nate Newby on that. Looking as many as 10 seats here early in the season, so that'll be a big goal. You've got the series going on at Monmouth, of course, and with the Lone Star, who starts on Friday, they open their season, they've got a feeder as well, heading to the Steve Sexton Mile Day, and then on Sunday the 28th, more at Lone Star for the Sexton Mile Day Challenge. Four spots guaranteed to be given out on the 28th, Sunday the 28th at Lone Star Park. So next couple of weekends ahead of Derby weekend, some things to take advantage of, looking forward.
That Lone Star contest I'm particularly interested in. We're going to have Brandon Lee on to talk about the whole Lone Star season, but especially their underrated contest program. I believe JK is going to be doing a seminar one of those days. We're going to talk all about that stuff in the late week edition of the In the Money Players podcast. So that one's definitely very much on our radar as well as things start to heat up in this live bankroll middle portion of the contest year calendar. And I'll throw in another quick plug. If you're playing online, we've got this charity game through Derby Wars on Saturday afternoon. Every penny goes to the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. You can feed in for $25 with no takeout, or you can buy in for $125. Go to derbywars.com and check out that charity game. We're going to do a live broadcast to accompany it. And no good deed goes unpunished, Steve. You said you'd do it, so now I'm going to hold your feet to the fire and see if we can get you on there for a few minutes.
Absolutely.
Put the mic in the other hand here.
No, I'd be happy to. Happy to.
Thanks.
Pete, this was great. Nice thorough update. We'll keep providing everybody some roadmaps to get to NHC. And, of course, this year now, announced last week, going back to Bally's, which will be a new experience for a lot of us. And looking for, I heard a pretty widespread positive reaction to the Bally's news. And, Pete, enjoy. I'll talk to you from Louisville on Saturday.
Under the Twin Spires. I love it. All right, Steve, thank you so much. We will be talking soon.
Pete Fornatale, looming boldly, everybody. Looms boldly on your Twitter machine. We'll take timeout, top of the hour, a little past top of the hour. We'll come back. Sid Fernando, Sire Watch, Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. And we'll talk about the way the Derby field came together. We'll get some thoughts about the result at Arkansas from Sid, and everything else. And, of course, with the Breeze shows going on at OBS April, well underway now, and we're into day three. I think we got 6 days of breezing before the sale, which starts Tuesday, kind of a big box store of the spring sales. And we'll keep tabs, and we'll also be able to hear from Gary Young when he comes to Louisville after the sale. But OBS getting closer each day. I've been sort of watching, haven't really looked carefully at the breezes. We'll catch up on that next week. Let's step away. When we come back, Sid Fernando joins us later. Diane Vols, as well as Lenny Shulman. His book is out, Justify, 111 Days to Glory. And more. Bill Gallo to introduce the season. They're about 3 weeks in to the Steeplechase and the Temple Gwathmi this weekend. So lots to do there. And Seth Merrow, stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Tickets to the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival are on sale now. New York's premier three-day racing festival returns to historic Belmont Park June 6th through 8th. Buy tickets today and enjoy trackside reserve seats or enhance your experience with one of our premium hospitality packages to make this an unforgettable event. Grandstand admission starts at $15 and three-day festival passes are also available. Buy now at Ticketmaster.com or visit BelmontStakes.com. The Belmont Stakes, where champions are crowned.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania Breds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions three straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Porchbills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Porchbills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races. And just a little late to getting, I was distracted and I was watching the trailer for Her Smell, the Elizabeth Moss film. Andy sent me a text last night. I guess he went and saw it in New York. It's not open widely yet. Looks unbelievable. Elizabeth Moss as a 90s punk rock band leader that I imagine is based on somebody. I'm gonna have to read about it. Andy said it's fabulous, and you know, certainly Mad Men fans and Handmaid's Tale fans appreciate Elizabeth Moss's work. Sid Fernando joins us. Sire Watch, Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. And the preliminaries are over, Sid. We've got ourselves a prospective Derby field. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Some thoughts out of the weekend. Arkansas Derby, pretty much goes to form despite the wet track. I mean, certainly the 1-2-3 finishers, more or less what you would have expected, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, Omaha Beach, obviously, is an exciting horse. You know, we talked last week about, it was between him and Improbable. Both, obviously, top colts. This horse, even though we've, that's Omaha Beach, even though we've discussed it peripherally, I mean, he's really got one of the best pedigrees in this Derby field, Steve. If not the best, just one of those unbelievable pedigrees that have that's guaranteed him, you know, a career at stud, regardless of what happens now. He's a Grade One winner by Warfront. But the female family is just one of the best recent families in our stud book. The Dam is charming by Seeking the Gold, so he's got a great broodmare sire to begin with. She was a $3.2 million yearling herself that... James Catuccio and Michael Tabor had raced, and she won $43,000. But her claim to fame prior to Omaha Beach was that she is the dam of Take Charge Brandy, the right. Giants Causeway filly, who was a champion 2-year-old and then later sold by John Sikora. Through the Hillendale consignment and bought by him for $6 million. This family, by the way, if you notice, the breeder is listed as the Charming Syndicate.
Yeah.
The Charming Syndicate is essentially Ashford Stud. So this is another one for the Coolmore Group that bred this horse. Interestingly, as with the other Warfront, still very viable classic contender, Derby contender, Will of War, both were RNAs. This one for $625, and Fox Hill, you know, obviously had purchased this horse after it. He didn't sell as a yearling, but boy, what a find!
You know, there's something interesting that you're looking at this family. You bring up the Damn Charming, and obviously Take Charge Brandy. Needs no introduction. Went on that tear for Dwayne Lucas and parlayed it into a championship, but. The first mating of Charming with Warfront produced a baby by the name of Take Charge Tressa, who was unraced. And they've gone to Warfront three straight times. Take Charge Tressa has already been covered twice by Tappet and once by Curlin. She's got a 2-year-old out there named Take Charge Glenda. So a 3/4 to Omaha Beach. And, you know, it's kind of interesting that you'd have, you know, an unraced mare, unraced filly that, you know, starts to knock around. And, you know, then all of a sudden she's got a 2-year-old full brother that, you know, is probably the Derby favorite. And it just shows you how the fortunes can shift markedly in the broodmare band and in the, you know, the offspring, the progeny and sibling end of things.
Yeah. Now, Take Charge Tressa, though she was unraced, I think she was unraced, right?
Unraced.
Yeah. She was put through the sale, and she was purchased for $1,250,000 by Willis Horton.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he loves his family, as we've talked about. Of course, under the second dam, Take Charge Lady, is also Horton's Will Take Charge. You'll note, Steve, that when this mare was charming, when she was first bred, she was bred to Unbridled Song. Of course, Will Take Charges by Unbridled Song. She's then, as you pointed out, she's covered by Giant's Causeway, got Take Charge Brandy. Then Warfront, the filly you point out. Interestingly, another Warfront from the same family, a sister, a brother to that unraised Warfront, was Courage Under Fire. He was second in the Phoenix Stakes, G1 in Europe. Now we have Omaha Beach, who's a grade one winner in the United States. The Coolmore Group, not only do they buy many Warfronts, they breed to him as well. The ones they think are suitable for Europe, of course, they're taken over there to race with great success. This one was sold here in the United States. Again, 625 RNA, but ended up with Fox Hill. Fox Hill has just a tremendous record of coming up with these types of horses, too.
That's a dual-edged. Let me interject there, Sid,
yeah,
because it's an interesting story. This group of 3-year-olds that Rick Porter is campaigning.
Mm-hmm.
This came as sort of a reboot for Fox Hill, and it came a year after Porter had jettisoned Tom McGreevy.
That's right.
And McGreevy, of course, had basically, you know, built the entire, you know, the entire history of Fox Hill, and there was the illness. Porter, you know, Porter wasn't sure of his health status, and was more or less, you know, kind of liquidating to some degree. And then when he rebounded and was feeling better, he dove back in. Larry Jones found this colt out on the sales grounds. So Larry Jones stepped in and doing a lot of the bloodstock work. And of course, McGreevy now working with Michael Stimson.
That's right. And it's interesting because, as you pointed out, the storied history of McGreevy with Fox Hill was huge.
Songbird, Hodspun.
Yeah, Horse of the Year, Ave de Gras. It's just been a tremendous run for them during his tenure. Larry Jones... I wasn't aware he was the one who picked this horse up, but it's interesting because, you know, there's regardless of what these guys have talked about in terms of, whatever they're looking for, there's always been certain sires, great sires, that have been part of their program. I mean, Unbridled Song, for example, was a huge part of Fox Hill. They had some Eight Bells, for example, was Unbridled Song. Winslow Homer, so many Old Fashioned, Rockport Harbor, all Unbridled Songs.
Hmm.
They then had some great success with some other top sires. Obviously, Medaglia d'Oro, the sire that. Great filly. It's interesting that they've gone with a Warfront, but you know, it kind of fits the pattern, regardless of whoever has been buying, that they stick with very well-regarded, proven sires. And now they've come up with this colt. This colt is extremely valuable because Warfront had really made his reputation on turf. And now you get this family, which is a dirt family. You've got this colt who's a dirt horse now, grade one winner. And Steve, this colt is going to be one of the most valuable stallion prospects we've seen. He's going to, of course, he's got a lot of racing left to do. And, you know, if he goes on to win the Derby, it just gets crazy. But he's going to be so sought after. In so many ways, one of which is that because he's from Seeking the Gold Mare, he's going to be a horse that has so much opportunity in the landscape because at Warfront, he's going to be able to take Galileo mares, he's going to be able to take Pulpit and Tappet mares. You know, this Tappet Warfront cross is going to be another big thing down the road. If you noticed, just a few weeks ago or days ago, there was a Tappet, the Winchell's bred a Warfront out of a Tappet mare from that Carol's Christmas family, you know, the big family of theirs that have had so many great Tappets. And they have a Tappet a Warfront colt that they sold like $500,000 to Godolphin, and that colt just recently won a G3 at Maison Lafitte. That's a potential cross down in the future. Because Warfarin has already done quite well with Pulpit, and so his son Tappet is a prime candidate. So this, when you're looking at a potential stallion a prospect, you also are looking at the type of mares that are going to be able to work with that horse. And because of the way this particular horse, Omaha Beach, is bred, he's really going to be receptive to a great number of sire strains that have worked with Warfront himself. So that's another potential advantage for this colt on top of everything else.
Now, it's a pedigree that, I suppose, because of Warfront, there's some interesting crosses in here, including Rubiano 3x4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad you picked up on that because just last week, I think it was last week when you and I were talking, we mentioned that the Fappiano line, inbreeding to the Fappiano line, has been a positive element, and it's worked with Tappet, for example. Tappet's, has unbridled. He's out of an unbridled mare. It's worked with Warfront, and it's worked with Candy Ride. So that's another element, by the way, that lends itself to these types of breedings.
Well, and I haven't talked to him about it, but I'm going to guess that the presence of Take Charge Lady, of course, in here, and Rubiano got Felicita, the dam of Take Charge Lady, who was by De Hare, bred by John Parada, and John, I got a feeling this will be John's Derby horse, if I had to guess.
Yeah.
I'll press him for that next week or Derby week. John, of course, managed a deputy minister as well, and part of what
Touch Golds.
A great legacy, and This has got it all. This has got everything you'd want.
Absolutely.
And you know what's interesting about him, stylistically, Sid, I mean, is the way in which that tactical speed and Mandela, who was with us on Monday, and for those of you that you don't have the archive will be up as soon as we can for Monday and Tuesday and for today. And so when it gets posted, if you missed Mandela live Monday or on the replay yesterday, go back and listen to Mandela. You get real hints. I mean, he's as thoughtful and as interesting a guy to listen to as there is in the game. And
yeah, he really is.
You can tell that he's just tickled by the way this horse has matured and come together in exactly the right moment. I mean, because this discussion has been kicking around to the internet the last few days since Saturday. How many Derby contenders and Derby favorites and you know, very much potential Derby winners, it took five starts to break their maiden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unusual. I mean, everybody's talking charismatic and real quiet, and you know those types. So, well, aside from Omaha Beach, let's also get any other thoughts. Improbable, revisited. He's been beaten by a length and by a short nose. So unusual,
yeah.
So unusual to have Baffert in this position, beaten narrowly, both of his biggest stars coming into the year, and then the late arrival of Roadster, I guess now projects ahead of the two of them. I don't know. I don't know if that's the case or not. I mean, I don't know. How do you rank the three Bafferts?
Well, the way I would rank them, and it's as I mentioned to you last week, Improbable was a real nice horse, and though he's out of an AP Indy mare, I had some doubts at the top level whether this horse might stay 10 furlongs. I still harbor those doubts. He's a City Zip, and even though City Zip has gotten a variety of horses, including 10 furlong horses, there's something about this horse, his size and his pedigree, just the City Zip part of it. I'm not convinced that he's a 10 furlong horse. I am about Omaha Beach and Will of War. Not War of Will, is it?
Yeah,
it's Will of War. Game Winner, yes, he's a horse that says 10. Roadster, I believe the quality road aspect to him, I think he'll get the trip. With Roadster, there's just, in my mind, he may not be as rugged a horse. He's kind of been babied. He's obviously had the throat issue where he had surgery, but he's not a physically robust horse. Baffert has kind of babied him and brought him up, kept him in his backyard over there. If I had to pick between the three of those Baffert horses, I'd probably go with Game Winner. He's a proven horse. He's had two tough races, but he's a horse that kind of thrives on work. Big horse, lazy horse, but and he's a horse, as I pointed out last week, he doesn't have a lot of gear changes, but he grinds away. He did that last year in the Breeders' Cup, and I think he'll be at maximum readiness on Derby Day, and so I think he's the horse I would go with among the three Baffert picks.
Interesting. Well, we got plenty of decisions to make. And on the stallion front, I did a little bit of notating, Sid, mm-hmm. Yesterday and today, this morning. If the field goes as listed, as we've got now for our top 20, you would have 18 different stallions represented. Warfront would have the two, Omaha Beach yeah. and War of Will, and then yeah. Candy Ride would have two, Game Winner
and Vekoma.
Yeah. Other right. than that, Tappet, Point of Entry, Quality Road, Golden Sense, New Year's Day, Noble Mission, Daher, City Zip, Take Charge Indy, Arch, First Samurai, Hat Trick, Looking at Lucky, Gradar, Hard Spun, and the Japanese Stallion, Just Away. Those would be your 16 others beside the pairs from Candy Ride and Warfront. It's an eclectic group, as always.
It's an eclectic group. There's a big... First off, let's note that the two most expensive stallions in North America are represented here, Warfront and Tappet. Two very good contenders, too. Tacitus for Tappet, and the two Warfronts are Omaha Beach and Will of War. So you've got the two of them represented. One horse that's... You've also got Quality Road represented among the top horses. You've got Candy Ride, a top proven stallion, he's represented. To me, what was really surprising... that he had no representation this year as a horse that has had a classic runner every year, Steve, with his three-year-old, and he still may in the Preakness and the Belmont, but missing in the Derby is a Curlin.
Mm-hmm.
Curlin, his stock in trade has been the regularity of his classic runners. So that's one horse that is notably absent among that list right now. The other thing that you want to note here is that there are several first crop horses that are represented. Golden Sense, for example, Noble Mission, others. You know, it just shows you that, you know, it seems there's always a first crop horse, and that's one of the reasons why they're so popular at the sales. You've also got the case with New Year's Day, who just came up with another graded stakes winner the other day that,
yep.
you know, he gets exported and suddenly a grade one winner and a grade three winner, you know, the grade three winner from his first crop, too, by the way.
Bourbon Resolution. This
exactly.
is that's the Ben Ally winner for Ian Wilkes on Saturday.
That's right. So, you know, you've got that. You've got another exported horse from the same family of Omaha Beach, and that's Take Charge Indy, the AP Indy horse who'd been at Windstar and then was sold to the Koreans with an option to buy back at a premium last October that Windstar did not exercise. So he's a half to Will Take Charge from the immediate family of Omaha Beach. He's represented again, just as he had with his first crop, Noble Indy. So there's an eclectic group, it's always notable that you have your top horses represented. And in this particular case, it's the year that the Warfront, that Claiborne and as the Claiborne Brain Trust had insisted upon that this horse could and would get good dirt horses again, because he did start off early in his career with some dirt horses. And, you know, that's a big, big thing for them to come up with not only Omaha Beach, but let's not discount the other horse, Will of War. Both those horses, by the way, Steve, and you pointed out that Omaha Beach took some time to come around. Both of those Warfront horses, because of Warfront's turf reputation, started their careers on turf here. And it was only on the switch to dirt that they've you know, taken off and become what they've become.
Well, and you certainly have beat that drum that, you know, that he was plenty versatile and that, you know, that he was, you know, the kind of stallion that, you know, would get any kind of horse.
Yeah.
So here's a mammoth opportunity. I mean, when you know, and just think about the War of Will situation, which if he doesn't have that bizarre start and you know, and wrench up, you know, whatever he did, that basically took him out of that Louisiana Derby. I mean,
right.
Essentially, Warfront would, I mean, if he had run his normal race, let's say, and
yeah,
you know, continued
exactly.
on, Warfront would be, you know, have probably two of the top five contenders in this race.
So it is War of Will, isn't it? I've been calling him Will of War.
Yeah, start War. With the lock yeah. in, lock in War at the as
yeah,
as
lock
the,
in War, yeah,
lock in War is the start.
and just to touch upon War of Will again, real quickly, I mean he's a horse that, as you pointed out, you know, they could be the 1-2 horses. But he's a horse that, unlike Omaha Beach, on the face of it, has a tremendous turf pedigree. So for him to you know, come out here and do what he's been doing with on the run up in the Classic Trail is really another telling sign of what a Warfront is capable of, even in the face of a pretty serious turf background, he can still get you a dirt horse. That's a real big story, too, in the breeding community.
Well, in addition, I want to also mention, you know, the last horse in based on, you know, based on Saturday anyway, Country House, finishing third, and that got him enough to get up to 50 points and end up 17th. He's a looking at Lucky. And in fact, on that front, looking at the, just curious, Hardspun second, looking at Lucky was what, sixth in the Derby before winning the Preakness. I'm just looking for Triple Crown success from the Stallion. Those are the two, those are the
well,
two most notable.
For, yeah. Preakness winner.
Yeah.
And a champion 2-year-old. And, you know, in the case of looking at Lucky, as you know, looking at Lucky was a horse that was one of our matings for Gulf Coast, and one of the things that we've mentioned about looking at Lucky previously is that the mating was Smart Strike over Danzig, and that's just an extension of what was then a very popular Nick, Mr. Prospector Danzig. Well, if you look at Country House, so he's by looking at Lucky out of a mare by War Chant, the son of Danzig. So that means that they reproduced the same cross of looking at Lucky, which means, of course, you're going to get a duplication of Danzig, which is what happens here. In this particular pedigree, the breeder was Joe Shields. There's also a duplication of the top broodmare No Class. And, yeah, he's a horse that's certainly bred to get this trip as well.
Well, and gives Mott two horses in the field, and, of course, Baffert with three, and Pletcher with two.
Pletcher's the other Pletcher horse?
Spinoff and Cutting Humor.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's right.
He's got the heart.
And it's really something when you think about the fact that early in the season, Mott had the hard spun talking horse Hidden Scroll. You know,
right.
Who everybody was talking about, not in the race, but there is a hard spun in this race now, and it's Spinoff.
Well, it's a field that we'll keep watching and digesting. I'll give you a week to look into Master Fencer and and figure out what he is. Just away, a stallion I think it's going to be new to most. And, you know, from there, Sid, we'll start to get serious. And nice weekend, by the way. I sent you that text on Sunday after the Fipke winner, the maiden winner.
Right. Yeah. No, I appreciate that. Yeah.
The half to, was that a tale of verve? A tale of verve half.
Yeah.
Nice.
And, by Distorted Humor.
Yeah, and I'm going to forget the name too. So we're on the same page.
Yeah.
Well, Sid, meanwhile, the OBS sale gearing up. We'll be watching that next week. I'll be talking to you from Churchill Downs when we converse next week.
Oh, we're looking forward to it, Steve.
Sid Fernando, everybody, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. And you can reach Sid, still time, some late deal making and maybe some late covers as we get closer to May. There's still some plenty of babies that are dropping. 510-490-1111, Work Thoroughbred Consultants, and see what Sid and the team can do for you. And, of course, follow Sirewatch and follow Sid on Twitter. And make sure you're using the Enix app. Haven't mentioned the app in the last few months, I suppose. I've let that slip through. Sid Fernando, everybody. Let's take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to bring on Diane Volz. And Diane, I don't want to, you know, put her in the awkward position of discussing the situation in New York specifically. You heard all about that. You heard all about that, you know, with Alan Foreman and Alan doing the litigating to try to bring a successful conclusion. But I want Diane to explain the Magna Wave and, you know, what the machinery does and what her kind of therapy that is, you know, she's been doing it for 20 years and doing it with some big horses and has got an elite clientele that loves what she brings in terms of helping the horses. And I've wanted her to come on and talk about it forever. I'm sorry that it took this situation to convince her to come on. Diane Volz is going to join us next. We got Lenny Shulman coming, as well as Bill Gallo and some Seth Merrow in the next hour and 13 minutes. Wednesday at the Races, back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent DeSarmo on Afternoon Delights, absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Horse-
NewYorksBills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through HorseBills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the HorseBills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. HorseBills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
I want to be rich and I want lots of money. I don't care about clever, I don't care about funny. I want loads of clothes and fuck loads of diamonds. I heard people die while they're trying to find them. And I'll take my clothes off and it will be shameless, cause everyone knows that's how you get famous. I'll look at the sun and I'll look in the mirror. I'm on the right track, yeah, I'm on to a winner.
We're back at the races. A little Lily Allen, one of my favorites, and one of our favorite equine therapist practitioners that I've asked. Let me think. I've asked her 35 times to come on the show. finally, we get a chance to have Diane Volz join us, and it's a total pleasure. Diane, good morning.
Hi, Steve. I know. Yeah. I'm just not a promotional type person. It's not what I do. I prefer to hang out in the stalls with the horses, as you know.
Exactly. And no, you've never sought out publicity, and certainly you didn't want to, you know, seek out the situation in New York. I've already told people we're not really going to get into those specifics. I'll let Alan Foreman handle it. I mean, Alan discussed it last week, and he's going to join us actually on the Lasix situation. He's going to join us Friday to discuss it as well as the grandstand at Pimlico, so I'll get an update from him. But I really, you know, I've always wanted you to explain, you know, what the alternative therapies, in this particular case, we're talking about the equipment known as PEMF, pulsed electromagnetic field therapy. And basically, it's a wand that sends pulses into the horse and relaxes them, and it basically is purported to have, you know, several positive effects on the horse. Talk about what the technology is and the benefits and the practice.
Well, let's back up a little. I've had my own equine therapy practice for 30 years now.
Wow.
I have a bachelor's of science in equine science, but there was no education program when I started for equine therapy or equine rehab in the United States. So I started with Mimi Porter, who is basically the founder of equine therapy in this country. She was an athletic trainer at UK and decided to apply it to horses. So she started 10 years before I started. So basically, it's only been an industry for 40 years. So that was kind of how it all got started, and I got started with her. The focus is on PEMF therapy right now, but we do therapeutic ultrasound, infrasound, photon therapy, cold laser therapy, electric muscle stimulation. We do stretching exercises. We use kinesio tape, and we use PEMF, pulse magnetic field therapy. So that's a small portion of our business, but there's a lot more to it, and these are professional athletes. I tell trainers, owners all the time, there's no professional athlete out there that doesn't have available to them all sorts of therapies, hands-on therapies, the different modalities that we use. There's so much to keeping these athletes happy, healthy, relaxed, you know, working through the tight spots so they don't get off something and cause something else. So the majority of our practice, 85% of our practice, is preventative maintenance. If they get a serious injury, our clients on the racetrack normally go to the farm or a rehab center. So, you know, we do a small portion. If they get a small wound or something like that, we'll use the laser on it to heal that up. So the practice is so much more than PEMF. PEMF has just come out in the last, we've used it in my practice in the last 7 years. So it's a small portion of it, but the focus seems to be on it right now. I don't know why that is, but I guess because it's so widely used.
The part of it is the, you know, the, I suppose, what's the right term? The conflating of it with shockwave. I mean, the confusion and the impression that because it has the word wave in it, because it's known as the magna wave, it's the same as shockwave. No.
Shockwave is sound wave. Sound waves, like we use therapeutic ultrasound, but shockwave is 1,000 times stronger. Shockwave was made to blast apart calcium deposits in people. That's what it was made for. So it has nothing to do with the therapy we do. PEMF is sound waves as well, but it's a magnetic field sound wave. It's not, it's a completely different modality.
We'll start with the magna wave, and because there, I do know that when I've had this discussion mostly with Dr. Alday, when we've talked about holistic practice and alternative therapies, and Steve absolutely believes that Dr. Bramlage, I think, is a proponent of PEMF therapy, but there's people that say it's something that can't really hurt, but they're not convinced that it helps. Explain what the results that you've seen since you've worked with it.
Well, using PEMF therapy, like you say, it's a large hoop, and the electricity pushes the magnetic field through that hoop, so you're creating a magnetic field in between the two hoops. So you're drawing the iron in the blood, you're increasing the circulation, you're relaxing the muscle. If they have lactic acid in their muscle, like all professional athletes do, you're helping to detox the muscle and push that lactic acid out to relax the muscle. So basically what you're trying to do is relax the muscle and increase circulation. Because we all get tight, you know it, you know, just from life, from things you do, from repetition, and their job is repetition. They basically do the same sort of training every day. So, you know, it can set up patternings of soreness or tightness, and then you also have to deal with the surface that they train on. And that affects our athletes because they all train on the same surface. You know, in some places we don't even have a training track like Churchill Downs. So if they don't take to that surface so well, then you see a patterning of soreness that sets up from training and surface related. So it's our job, and trainers look at us as another set of hands, another set of eyes on the horse. So if we see something setting up or something changing or muscle where they're using themselves differently and they develop muscles not in a symmetrical pattern, then we can say to the trainer or the vet or the assistant trainer, you know, we see this patterning coming on, and you can head something off by knowing that you've got something coming on and stretch it out. We do a lot of stretching exercises with the horses. And that tells us if you stretch a horse before they go to the track and you know how they stretch every day and you go to do a certain stretch and they won't do it on one day, you know to look for something before you send them out there to train. So there's a whole lot to the whole situation, but with PEMF therapy, it's easier to do the whole body of the horse, whereas if we're doing laser or therapeutic ultrasound, it could take quite a while to cover a large portion of the body. But with PEMF therapy, you start at the head, you work your way back, you do the extremities. So you're taking care of the whole body.
Is it something that you go to during a diagnosis, or just, you know, watching how a horse is moving, and you know, when you're working in concert with the groom and the assistant, mm-hmm. and the trainer, mm-hmm. and the vet, you know, explain